It is a happy Friday and it is a special Friday here on Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams coming to you from the HD Law Studios. Four Quarter Friday presented by the South Carolina Coaches Association, and happy semi-quincentennial to all of us that call the United States home. We are covering the state of South Carolina from Clover to Chapin, from Woodruff to Woodmont, everything in between. And if you love this state, Rob, I know you do. We should all take a moment to reflect on Francis Marion, Thomas Sumter, Andrew Pickens, William Moultrie, and many more that played a role in Revolutionary War history. If you live in the state of South Carolina, it's in your backyard. It doesn't matter whether you're on the coast or whether you're up near Cowpens or in the Midlands. There is Revolutionary War history around you. So it's pretty cool to reflect on the semi-quincentennial here in our state because of the role that we played and the history of South Carolina. I live in Georgetown, and Georgetown's library actually predates the Library of Congress. So that's the kind of history we have here in the state of South Carolina. And what's happening in this state? Well, unfortunately, we could not give the football coaches any time off. They begged us. They pleaded. They asked Rob. They said, Rob, please stop visiting me. Smitty, stop calling me. And we wouldn't do it. So we've got Bennett Swigert, head coach for Clover High School, formerly at Hillcrest. You may know him. He's got a rich history in this state and, you know, played college ball in this state. Also was an offense coordinator at Newberry, among other things. So Bennett Swigert will join us just a little bit later. And I know, Rob, you've been on the phone with people. I've been on the phone with people. And these coaches, like I had Jake Morris from Dorman on the beach yesterday under a shibumi talking to me, you know, one of those wind-blown shaboomies trying to talk to me about who's going to start at cornerback this year for Dorman. So we didn't give him any time off, and I hope everybody else, everybody listening, gets a little time off. Maybe you don't have to work today. The markets aren't open. I know Rob's a trader. You know, he can shut it down for today, and you enjoy the 4th of July because this is a special one. All right, I've talked so much, Rob. I talk so much because you're the one that brings all the knowledge to us. So I'll turn it over to you.
I don't know about that, Smitty, but it is the first quarter here brought to you by Bill Maloney, South Carolina Farm Bureau. I wanted to give you guys that that phone number. It's 803-618-9143. Again, that's 803-618-9143 for all of your insurance needs, home, life, and auto. Or renters. I've been directing some college students. So if you're headed off to school and you're an athlete, maybe not, and you're going to get into a new student apartment, you need to protect yourself, call Bill Maloney, 803-618-9146 there. All right. We are here, Four Quarter Friday, fourquarterfriday.com, coming up soon with On Three and Rivals. Smitty, it's an exciting day. Because not only do we have Bennett Swigert coming up, we've been talking to coaches, and we are on the peak of commitment season in college football. Nate Carson commits today, Smitty, at 6 p.m. Irmo, offensive lineman, a high four-star, appears to be a South Carolina and Georgia battle. Interested to see where he lands. We will talk to Nate after that commitment and bring you the latest. But we're excited about that. We've talked to Aaron Brand. We're looking forward to having him on the show coming up here in the next few weeks. So just a lot going on, a lot going on. We've seen so many commits already happening. But right here at the 4th of July, as we celebrate this country that has given us so much, Smitty, and as we try to gear down, as the coaches are under shaboomies and traveling cross country. I've talked to a few this week that are traveling around the country, talked to some that are at the lake, at the beach. And as you mentioned, Bennett Swigert coming in with us today on a Friday. So we're definitely thankful for that, but we will bring you guys more and more of these coaches as we move forward over the summer. It feels like this is the midpoint, Smitty. Do you feel like this is the midpoint of the summer when we're at July 4th? It is dead week in South Carolina high school sports. So we're looking we've seen kind of from a football standpoint, we've already seen the camp season, the 7-on-7 season, the offensive line, defensive line camp, the bulk of it. You'll get a couple of those, maybe some private stuff here coming up, but mainly what you're going to get after dead week is maybe one or two more events, some summer conditioning, and then August 1st comes around and it'll be about time for fall camp. Fall camp. Jamie always says this on Inside the Gamecocks that it's not really fall camp because it's August.
And I'm with you. I reject that. Yeah. I reject that. It can't be fall camp if you have to take, you know, the guys are like passing out and say, what's the problem? Well, the heat index is 318 pounds. Like you can't, and I'm wearing full, you know, full pads and a helmet. You can't, that's not fall camp. I've actually long been an advocate. I don't know if this has never gotten any traction of pushing it back a little bit down here in the South, because I don't think it's the best thing to have kids out there running the way that they are and working and conditioning the way that they need to be in order to be ready for the kickoff. I don't know if it's the best time to do it in August. I think maybe we ought to push it. Of course, I guess the argument against that would be, man, it's hot in September here. Like, we don't get any, it doesn't cool off for us until like October. So,
exactly. Harrison here in the chat. Good morning, Harrison. We really appreciate you and all that you do here on the Chief Sports Network. He says the worst used to be the heat index over 100 and then go to practice on a turf field in the Midlands, making it even hotter. Yeah, it's, it might be 95 to 100 degrees outside. And then on that turf, you're looking at an easy 115.
Oh, and he says the Midlands, too. Now, you know, Rob, you're living there.
Yep.
There's no relief. I do everything I can do. So, like, when I'm traveling through, you know, the Midlands, like Sumter, Camden, Columbia, any of that, if I'm not on the lake because I don't have Rob Williams money, so I'm not on the lake. If you're traveling through the Midlands, air conditioning's cranked, windows are up, and I just fly by. I don't even stop. I don't even stop for a tea because I've got to get past the Midlands in the summertime and get some relief. I've got to at least – so there's only two places I can be. I've got to be like either on the beach with the breeze or I have to be in the foothills. I can't exist where you are in July.
Well, there are multiple places to stop, Smitty. We'll have more on this on fourquarterfriday.com coming very soon to let you know all the restaurants – and maybe some sweet treats you need to stop and grab when you're traveling from school to school.
But if they've got a drive-through, I'm down with it. I'll do it.
I want to know what, not only you, Smitty, I want to hear from you, but also those who are listening. Get involved in the chat here. What are your 4th of July plans? It is a little bit more of a laid-back day today because today's July 3rd. Tomorrow, you know, I know everybody's off, or most people are off today and probably tuning in and relaxing a little bit, getting ready for tomorrow, maybe trying to find some water because it is so hot outside, whether it's the pool, the lake, the beach. What's the move? What's the plan? What's on the menu for your 4th of July party? I'm going to a party tomorrow, Smitty, that is titled Liberty and Lamb Chops.
I like this. Oh, there we go.
With my good friend, Dean Domiduris of Hewitt Domiduris Law. So we'll see what my man's got cooked up for us.
Oh no, I'm already in on that. That's how you do it. Just, you know, be sure to, you got to wear linen. You got to go Riviera style to a 4th of July party.
Well,
what I'm wearing is too heavy.
I don't want to give away too much of his home setup, but I do think there will be water involved in this party.
Okay. I wanted to go over something with you, Rob, because I don't know that we have touched on this specifically. And it came up yesterday in one of the conversations I was having with a coach. And I want you to comment on it because I think it will frame a little bit why fourquarterfriday.com is going to be so important. And it is this. And you tell me if my facts are not right. Okay. You clean it up. But I'll get your take on this. I think it's important to everybody to know that follows the players in our state and where they are being recruited to go play at the next level. You might see a guy. I'm going to give you a random example. 6 feet, 215 pounds, runs a 4.5 40, plays linebacker. He's a tackling machine. He gives you everything you want, and all his offers are from Division II schools. And in years past, he may have thought, you may have thought, if you'd seen him, you've been watching high school football for 30 years, you look at him and you say, well, that guy's like power four. That guy could be a linebacker at, you know, Wake Forest, NC State, Missouri tomorrow. And he's not. And if I've got this right, what is happening is because of the portal, now so many of the power four teams, especially the coaches that quote-unquote have to win now and don't have time to develop, they are going to get a lot of players that are at the FCS level or, you know, kind of your East Carolinas, App States, Coastal Carolinas, get them to transfer in, but that eats up a scholarship. It's like musical chairs. That takes up a spot that would have gone previously to a high school player. So now, who has scholarships available? App State's got them available. East Carolina's got them available. Wingate has them available. Newberry has them available. Wofford has them available because some of their players have transferred out that have succeeded. And now so many players that you may lay eyes on and you may hear us talk about, and you say, man, I kind of feel like he could, you know, he's not a Conference USA guy. He could go up a level. But because of the way that the world has turned, and it may get worse because now there's going to be the five to play five, is a lot of these high school players that we are talking about, and we are just over the moon. We're just like, this kid can play. And you say, boy, I thought his offers might be to larger schools. Well, he may get that opportunity down the road, but because of the transfer portal, scholarship numbers have changed, and there are more options available for players going to lower-level FBS and FCS schools and Division II than the Power Four opportunities right out of high school.
Yeah, there's a couple things that come to mind here for me, Smitty. Number one is that it almost – we used to have JUCO kind of being this stepping stone, and you would see certain schools develop a relationship with specific JUCOs and maybe place a guy there, or they had a strong relationship. It's almost the same recruiting relationship that you see between a college and a high school, where you build a pipeline, you're going to go there time and time again. You know the coaches, the administration. You can work well from an in-office standpoint, from an admission standpoint, to get guys transferred in. How are the credits going to do? You know, all the things that people don't really think about. But now you're going to start seeing this, and I'm very interested to see, Smitty, what the relationships become between the Power Four coaches and the Group of Five level, the FCS level. Like, for example, because we're in-state, we'll take an in-state school. Does Clemson develop a strong relationship with Furman and the coaching staff that's there, the athletic administration that's there, because you know you're going to go there every year and at least look and maybe see if there's a guy or two that you want? Is a South Carolina develop that type of relationship with a South Carolina State that's right down the road? Or if we go Group of Five, what does this look like between in-state schools and Coastal in developing those guys and bringing them over? The thing that it does at the high school level, though, is it has really taken that recruiting back a notch. Like you mentioned, there are guys who you used to have looked at and said, hey, they're definitely going to be a Group of Five player, and now they're a D2 player. Or there are guys now that I've seen in the spring that are 2027s that are just now starting to get their first offers. I saw a couple of guys in the spring, and I went up, I watched them practice. I looked at their tape. The coach had informed me about them. I'm standing next to them and giving them the good old eye test, and I've just watched them in drills. And I said, okay, so what are you thinking for next year? Well, I don't have any offers yet. And so the trickle down, the domino effect of that is that there are guys who are going to be quote unquote late bloomers, but they're not really late bloomers. It's just these coaching staffs have not gotten down to evaluate them to the point that they can look at bringing them in, because now everything has shifted a level. Everything has shifted. You know, 10 years ago, Smitty, I was working with young people a lot, and I made this comparison where I said social media has shifted the culture around each age group back a level. For example, I'm seeing high school kids do what college kids do in their free time. I'm seeing middle school kids do what high school kids used to do in their free time, because they can now see it in front of their phones. And it's the same type of shift that we're seeing in the recruiting world, where the Power Four is recruiting at a different location and a different spot, which then causes the Group of Five to recruit differently, which then causes the FCS to recruit differently, yeah. And so on. And so it trickles all the way down, and that causes a large group of high school prospects to be standing there with kind of their hands open going, look, here's what I got to offer. And they're not getting as much attention as they would have previously, because there's so much transferring that's happening at the college level.
Right. And the coaches at, say, the Power Four level, they're going to have their attention divided because of what you just said. You might have, and it's not just about head coaches. Let's say you're a coordinator and you're coming off a rough season. Well, you might not say, well, I'm going to go look at all these quarterbacks in, you know, on the I-95 corridor in South Carolina, because he may think, well, I don't have 2 years to develop those kids.
Yep.
I have not just the head coaches, the recruiters themselves may be fighting for their position job or their coordinator job. And so they are then trying to, what are they trying to do? Get the money available to go and get a proven player somewhere else at the college level to come in and transfer that can make an instant impact and take the heat off that coach. So all of this works in tandem and coordinates together. And what you said was so interesting when you talked about the pipeline, because it used to be, you said some programs, you know, like Kansas State, Bill Snyder was famous. He would go into, I think, Garden City out there in Hutchinson, and you heard about Mississippi State and Jackie Sherrill, and you saw a lot of players for South Carolina over the years placed at Georgia Military College, and then it was like, we'll follow you. You know, we'll stay in touch with you. We don't have a scholarship for you now, but we'll watch you and watch you develop. And as you said, you just wonder now how much these Power Four coaches develop relationships. They might start, again, it's not a feeder program, because we want to be clear about this too. I don't mean it as a backhanded compliment when I say some of these players that previously would have played at Power Four now may end up at FCS, because I know a lot of players that played at the FCS level and they just went, played 4 years, got their degree, watched that team every Saturday, and they couldn't be happier with their decision. So I'm not suggesting that all of these players, it's not a way station to go to one of these good FCS programs or Division II. That could be your life. That could just be, you just may meet people and you get along with the coaches and that's your world. What I want to make sure we stress, however, is that doesn't mean that some of these players are even being overlooked by Power Four programs. It's the circumstances and the rules with which everybody is operating now. And it's just the reality. And I think that that's what's going to make our website so important, is because that now we can highlight those players in a way that are going to some of these FCS, Division II, lower FBS programs that do not make headlines, because it just usually doesn't. It's not earth shattering when somebody, you know, commits to Carson Newman. That's just not earth shattering news for those that cover college football recruiting and usually care about such things. But for us, now we have an understanding of, oh, that kid can play. They just got a player and he may not be there forever. So we just want to make sure that's everybody is on the same page with the reality that these kids are butting up against. And I've heard it now from multiple head coaches at the high school level. And so now I'm convinced, Rob, and you clarified it all too. And I agree with you, and I'm excited to see some of these players, because I do think there's also a few players, not that I won't say overlooked, but I think there's a few players that you've talked about on the Four Quarter Friday Morning Minute that whose commitments won't hold.
I agree. And I think that, you know, Smitty, and we'll go ahead and probably jump to our first break here as we get ready for the next segment. But I'll kind of say this. in closing, when you think about that, there are two things that we're focused on here at Four Quarter Friday. And obviously, yes, the recruiting and the individual players are a big part of that. We're going to talk about Nate Carson, and he's one of the biggest prospects in the state. Everybody's going to talk about Nate Carson, but it is our bread and butter to bring you the news of that recruit that's going somewhere that doesn't make national news or maybe doesn't even make statewide news in a lot of other cases. And then the other focal point for us, Smitty, is going to be teams. And I think that while, you know, it's important to look at the individual players, there's a deep-rooted desire in this state to still pull for my community and my team. What is my team going to look like? Yes, we have that player or this player. Yes, this other top-notch four-star blue-chip guy is in our region, and we're going to see him this year. But what do the teams look like, and how do they shape up? Bennett Swigert will be here with us in just a few minutes to talk about what Clover will be in 2026. This is Four Quarter Friday, and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you here. Happy birthday to the United States. It is a big one. And our thanks again to Bill Maloney for bringing you the first quarter today on Four Quarter Friday. Also, thank you to the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association for presenting Four Quarter Friday here on the Chief Sports Network. We've got Bennett Swigert, Clover head coach, coming up on the Leading Edge guest line in just a few moments. Rob, I wanted to bring this up to you because this is like, as you said, I thought you phrased it well. This is the midway point in a lot of ways. This feels like a slow time. But what those of us that live in the football world realize is, we'll be at, like you're going to you're going to a swanky clam bake, Liberty and Lamb Chops, with a prominent attorney. So you know this is the life that you live. But and so it's slow. And then what happens is, I think we all, if we live in this football world on the football calendar, you like wake up next week and go, oh, no, it's here. I've got too much to do now. All of a sudden, the coaches and the players and those of us that cover it, I'm going to ACC Media Days. It's like, oh, no, it's like, wait. And you can't do anything because so many people are on vacation. And then all of a sudden, you're in a hurry. But one thing I picked up in a conversation yesterday with Jake Morris from Dorman High School that I wanted to bring to the show today is just how difficult some of these schedules are going to be at the 5A level. Now, I think that in a lot of ways, this is good. I think it's really good for those of us that cover the sport. I think it's really good for those of us that just want to say, hey, who's playing this week? And if you want to catch big boy football, 5A football here in our state, most of the time, throughout August and September, you're going to see two teams that are really good going head-to-head because that's the way they had to schedule. So there's no longer a benefit for a team, say, in the 4A because there's no points. The point system is different. There's no benefit for a 4A team to just schedule the largest 5A team. So a lot of the 5A teams are going to end up playing each other. And I just glanced at some of the schedules, Rob, and I was going to bring this to you. If you're Dorman, and we anticipate Dorman being good again, right? I anticipate Dorman being strong. They've got a lot of important pieces back, and they've got some players that are coming up from junior varsity. So, all right, they're going to be good. But some of these 5A teams say, well, we'll just go out of state. Dorman doesn't want to do that. So here's what they get. Burns, which is now non-region. Dorman will host Burns before taking a trip to the reservation, Gaffney, back at home against Irmo. We've already talked about that's a string of college-committed players that play for Irmo. Then 2+ hours to Sumter before opening region play against Northwestern. Oh, by the way, the defending state champions. That could be the toughest 5-game stretch in the state this season. Burns at Gaffney, Irmo at Sumter, and back at home against Northwestern.
Yeah, I don't know how you stack it any I can maybe come up with a couple of teams here, Smitty. Maybe you could throw Dutch Fork into that schedule and try to beef it up a little bit
right.
more. I'm not really sure what else that they need to do. Do we want to put – how many state champions can we put on Dorman's schedule? Do we want to – I mean, I know this is Northwestern gets it done in 5A Division II. What about South Point? We want to throw South Point over there at the Cavaliers. What else can we do for Coach Morris to really, really make sure he's got the points and battle-tested schedule for his players? Yeah, I mean, it is thick. And you look at the Dorman roster. Here's where we're going to have to be careful when we get into the season. And by the way, the season's right around the corner, guys. We're not that far off. Week one, no week zero anymore. Week one is August 21st. Smitty, August 21st. By the time we wake up from our 4th of July slumber, we'll be 6 weeks away from the high school football season. Dorman's roster is good enough to make a deep run. And you look at that on paper, you can look at obviously what Northwestern has coming back from a state championship. You can look at we've talked about Rock Hill and how they've reloaded a little bit in the portal. But we look around the state. Dutch Fork is there. Irmo's got the talent. Gaffney has some talent, some stuff that's moved around there. Obviously, as we work our way through different classifications, you're going to see Oceanside be very strong again. And then Burns has got the top those four that are going to lead the charge there, and three of them are committed to Power Four schools. So when you look at these rosters, right now is the time when we're breaking those down. It is still kind of list season, and we're seeing these players and what can they do, and this is what this team looks like. But when you get a schedule like that, Smitty, sometimes it's not going to – you're going to be 3-4 weeks in, and teams may have some losses. Dorman may be 1-2, 1-3 to start the season and still have the horses to make a deep playoff run. And so we're gonna stay in the thick of it with you guys, but make sure that we don't write anybody off. But just everybody listening and reading what we have on the site coming up. Don't write anybody off during that non-region schedule, because they are gonna test these teams early. And I think that that's been intentional. The overall consensus that I've gotten from coaches is that I haven't talked to one necessarily that has been scared of competition. I would say 95% of all the coaches I talked through spring and summer have said, we want to go get it. We're going to get after it in this non-region slate. We're going to go try to play teams that are tough, that are going to test us, that are going to prepare us for what the playoffs are going to look like. You can go pad your schedule and get your guys warmed up a little bit, or you can show them what it's going to look like during playoff time, because inevitably you're going to run into those teams that you just named that are on Dorman's schedule. And so Jake Morris is scheduled tough, but he's not the only one. We're going to see that around with a lot of these top teams that you may recognize as the former Big 16 or teams that are now powers at the 3 and 4A level, or even the 2A level, with Strom Thurmond's schedule really tough. They've got it. They did a home and home traveling to Georgia last year. They got a team coming in this year that's going to be a strong test for them. So you look at the teams that are finding success, Smitty, they schedule like that. And just occasionally that means you're going to get punched in the mouth early on.
Right. I was going to say what you just said, which is I think you're going to have a lot of good football teams. Don't be surprised if a good team opens up 1-3. Wasn't Dutch Fork like 2-3 last year, or 1-2, 1-3, somewhere in that neighborhood, because of how difficult their schedule was. So that was Dorman. And by the way, Sumter's there, and you got to go to Sumter. I think there's a chance Sumter, who was good last year, is even better this year.
Yeah.
White Knoll early opens at AC Flora, at Sumter, then T.L. Hanna and North Augusta back-to-back weeks. That's those teams, those four clubs that White Knoll will face, combined for 42 wins last year. And some of them we've talked about in the offseason, we figure to be even better this year.
Right.
Boiling Springs didn't even get a choice. Those were non-region schedules. So, you know, those coaches, they were on the phone. They were trying to figure it out. They said, well, like you said, well, we'll be battle-tested. We might be limping heading into region play, but we'll be battle-tested. Boiling Springs is in Region 2 5A. listen to this backstretch for Boiling Springs, what the Bulldogs have in October. This was through their, this is what they were handed region play. At Northwestern, at Rock Hill, home to Dorman, at Spartan High. Three of the last 4 weeks on the road, and two of those games, you've got to go up to District 3 Stadium, which is not an easy trip from Boiling Springs. A little bit easier from Boiling Springs than it is, say, from Dorman, it's 26 to 85. But the problem is when you get there, you're playing Northwestern and Rock Hill. And again, they've got Dorman down the stretch and at Spartan High. So don't be surprised if Boiling Springs, a team that we anticipate fighting for a playoff spot, looks like it's leaking oil a little bit coming down. But if Boiling Springs can get into the playoffs, can fight their way into the playoffs and stay healthy through that stretch, they're not going to see anybody better. There will be no more. There won't be anything you haven't seen. There will be no more team speed to deal with. The game won't be too fast. And that's the beauty of these really tough schedules. And I just wanted to highlight that because I think that makes it fun for us. We've got, you know, like we said, big showdowns early. And then you've also got big showdowns late that will decide playoff positioning. And it's going to be a lot of fun for us to cover. And so I want to take a look at the schedule early. I like doing that. We can help you plan. Because if you're like me, look, I love my team. You know, I think you do too, Rob. But one of the cool parts about growing up in this state was going over to like another nearby stadium when there was a good game in town. And
because it's so easy, check, they're everywhere.
It's so easy. And if your team's out of town, you say, oh, you know what? Just again, all, I always say this, for less than 10 bucks, you can see tomorrow's College Stars. Speaking of which, time to get back to the Leading Edge guest line. We have got the new head coach for Clover football, Bennett Swigert, joining us. Coach, welcome in to Four Quarter Friday. We are so happy to have you, and congratulations on the new job.
Well, thank you, and good morning. Happy 4th of July week to everybody, and hopefully everybody's enjoying their break, ready to come out here sprinting towards the season.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, Coach. There's a comedian, Jim Gaffigan. This is what I think you coaches are going through. There's a comedian, Jim Gaffigan, who says when he takes his family on vacation and the kids are all making noise and he's been getting everything ready and mowing the lawn and then he's got to make hotel reservations, he said when he finally gets the family in the car and shuts the door on the kids, when he walks around from the passenger side to the driver's side, that's his vacation. That's the way I feel about you coaches, because it's like we called you on your vacation because after this, you know, you were all working all June, working all off season. And as soon as you get back to school, it's like, well, here comes preseason camp.
Well, Smitty, you did give me a small vacation from my vacation. I'm pretty tanned up right now from throwing the kids around the pool and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, at the same time, man, definitely looking forward to it. It's been good. Thankfully, I married a good coach's wife who understands exactly what we do, and some little kids that love being around the game.
That's fantastic, Coach. We're excited to have you with us today, and I appreciate you taking some time off from your time off, like you said. You know, Smitty was talking about this earlier, and I said, this is the midway point of the summer. I feel like I'm swimming laps in the pool, and I've come to the end and just popped my head up to grab a breath, to turn around and swim back in terms of covering high school athletics in the state of South Carolina. I know that you probably feel the same way. Talk to us a little bit about what this summer has been for you. I know when you're going to a new school and trying to establish, there's a lot of moving parts, right? You're trying to figure out your personnel a little bit. You're trying to establish culture. What have been the main focus points for you since getting to Clover and moving into this summer season?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's learning the area. This is like the one part of the state I keep telling people. You know, I'm originally from the low country, spent a lot of time in the Midlands, a little bit of time in the upstate, and now find myself right here next to Football City USA and figuring out the region. I mean, you can watch tape, but to really get an idea of these programs, these coaches, how important football is up here, is I compare it to drinking from a fire hydrant. You know, not just learning your own team, your own coaches. Thank goodness we have such a tremendous group of coaches returning here at Clover to help me kind of figure that out. But it's been an absolute whirlwind. And you know, going back to the vacation for vacation, this has been a brief chance to kind of catch my breath and look up and see, you know, to get ready for that marathon in front of us.
Coach, you're taking on a lot here because I think sometimes people forget this too. You know, Clover's a big school, 4A school. All of the lower teams, like your JV teams, your ninth grade teams, and on down, they're getting new concepts too. They're getting new playbooks too. So tell us about that, because you're taking over not just that varsity program, the entirety of the program. And Clover's run a lot of different offenses in the last 10 years that aren't exactly like what you like to do. So are you doing this all at once, or are you kind of marrying what you do and think, okay, it's going to be a process because some of these players weren't using these passing concepts for a long time?
No, that's a great question. Well, first and foremost, going back to learning the players and the program and all that, and that staff, the contingency of staff that we have returning, our weightlifting program does an excellent job. So offensively, as far as marrying it up, you know, learning the Clover way was important. Our kids really get after it. Our strength staff, Orlando Smith, Tony Cook, they do an amazing job. So learning kind of what our kids can do, old ball coach said, you know, before you give them, you know, you got to give them a job that they can do, or they're going to question your ability to do yours. So this isn't like playing PlayStation, right? You can't just come out here and roll out my Madden playbook or my NCAA playbook and, all right, guys, let's go to it. We got to figure out what we can do that fits our talent around us. Now, thankfully for me and some of the things I would like to do personally, we have a trigger man that I feel like can do some of these RPO spread concepts. But that's one good deal about being in college. Even though you can recruit, when you landed a program, you got what you got. And so we've been everything from spread option to RPO to having passing numbers that have led the nation. So right now we're in the midst of, you know, finding out what little Bobby and little Johnny can do, what they're comfortable doing, what highlights their strengths, right? Because going back to it, you can have the greatest play on Madden ever. And if that guy doesn't necessarily match up to that scheme, it probably ain't going to look good. So I think that's been the biggest challenge. But again, Smitty, Rob, this staff is largely held together. That's been the best thing about this whole experience. Now, we are bringing in a defensive coordinator that isn't quite ready to get announced yet, but he's a guy with a significant amount of college experience as well, and we feel really comfortable with at least where we're at right now.
Well, you know who to call when that happens. See, now. Oh,
yeah, you want to break some news, you just hit us up.
No. When he gets his name on the dotted line, I can't wait to call and tell everybody.
You talk about coach a little bit of these players for those people around the state and the Clover home crowd as well. Who has kind of stuck out to you in terms of personnel, guys that we need to watch? I'll tell you this too, and we said this earlier in terms of recruiting. You know, Blue chip players are low hanging fruit, and we're going to cover them like everybody else. But here on Four Quarter Friday, it's important for us to cover all of the players in the state of South Carolina, because there are great high school football players that are going to sign at places that don't get a lot of fanfare, or that maybe are just really, really good at the high school level. And we want to celebrate those as well. So you talk to us a little bit about who stands out for you so far on that roster. You talk about your quarterback a little bit and what you got around him.
Yeah, and as far as that recruiting stuff, man, everybody's got to understand, look up in this landscape and realize that D2 is the new D1. You know, so what we think of as blue chip players 20 years ago ain't maybe that anymore. You know, they're probably, you know, mid-major at best, playing for the portal, playing for a chance up like everybody else. You watch Coach Trinetti at Indiana playing with, you know, 23, 24, 25-year-olds all over the place. So this game is changed, and the next level has changed, but we got a number of them that I feel like can go on to play college football. The quarterback, Aaron Shealy's a guy. We got a DL, D-tackle, DN type, Jackson Hill, that I think is a really, really excellent football player. He's not going to jump off the charts measurably quite yet because, I mean, you know, he's only 18 years old. So going back to watching 23, 24-year-olds on TV nowadays, you got to realize that these guys are probably a step away from development that way. If you know, the measurables don't match up nowadays, it's a hard conversation to have at those big blue chip places. I would say we have a linebacker named Ahmad Stroud that has those kind of measurables and a little bit more intentionality into the football part of it. I think he could really, really be something. Grady Stone is a running back that I think is just super talented. I mean, the kid's kind of good at everything he does. He's all state lacrosse and just kind of farted around doing that and had a lot of success. We're going to try to push him outside the box. And like I told Grady, look, man, we still going to hand him the ball, obviously. But we think he's got the ability to do some things out on the edge. And if we can create him a little bit of space that he can make a lot of plays happen. And here at Clover, at least what we're going through right now, we're trying to kind of gear these guys up to be able to play both sides of the football. So you might look at a returning safety like Najee Potts, Ball Hawk, and his own right back there on the third level defensively. That you know, is kind of intriguing is what can he do offensively to kind of help us out. And the best group to always be around in all of football, that in my experience at least, right? They were the group that when we traveled to college, coaches kind of naturally hung around. It's our offensive line. And there's not one name there necessarily as much as the group up front. They play very well together. They're a cohesive group. They communicate extremely well. They've obviously been very well coached over their entire experience. You know, Smitty, you referenced the middle school to the varsity program is really the program, right? It's just what you see on Friday nights, kind of the top of the iceberg. And these guys have done a really good job of developing this offensive line. And we're really excited about them. I'm scared to go on too many more names because I know I'm going to miss a couple in this little mad dash. But I think we got a chance and to be very competitive and definitely have some outliers that can play college football.
Well, Coach, tell us about that schedule as well. Obviously, there was reclassification, realignment, everything. Now, this was all going to be new to you anyway, but look at that. I mean, obviously, it's going to be difficult, but that's kind of what makes high school football fun, too, is, you know what, there's no sleepers. There's not going to be any, like, you know, games where you're not going to have a big crowd and no interest. You're not going to have that. I mean, you're going to play teams like Nation Ford and Fort Mill and others that want to beat you and your kids want to beat them. So there's going to be a lot of intensity in a lot of these games.
No, that's right. And to be honest with you, man, when I looked at the schedule at first, I was like, where's Palisades? I never heard of them. Right. And then I drive across the bridge and there they are. Very beautiful school across the water. But at the same time, like going back to it, I know a lot of these guys, you know, as much through the recruiting portal, you know, our rival, Dean Boyd, I was at high school at Marlboro County probably a decade ago. And when I got hired, he gave me a call and he's like, we rivals now. And I was kind of like, shoot, coach, if you say so, you know, so I'm figuring that deal out as we go. Obviously, Coach Bennett or Bentley at Nation Ford, Bobby Collins, big time South Carolina State name at South Point. You know, Lake Wiley's the brother that split off across the street. Indian Land choked us asleep at Hillcrest last year. So, you know, like I said, this July 4th break's been really good to kind of catch my breath, look at the schedule myself and be like, all right, now let's go. I know Fort Mill's very well coached, had a great year last year. And Bowling Springs, as I hopped on, y'all were talking about Matt Reel and crew. I think he does as good a job as anybody around the state. The wins and losses might not look as good that way. But when you look at the history of Bowling Springs, I think he's done a pretty dang good job at Bowling Springs getting that program rolling. So, you know, it's a fight and we're excited. And it wasn't too long ago that I said, hey, man, you know, somebody asked me about the schedule. And I said, look, we're just trying to win every day right now. So the biggest day in front of us right now when we get back is July 6th, trying to win and trying to stack days. And in my experience, you know, as long as those days add up, and then you look back to the calendar, you're going to probably have had better days or a better season that way. You know, let's win Monday, let's win Tuesday. And then as we start breaking down film in preparation for these kind of guys, you know, I obviously have a little bit better idea then.
Coach, you mentioned Lake Wiley. What has been kind of the vibe since you've gotten to town? Obviously, a brand new school splitting off from Clover. Is that a budding rivalry, or is it more like, hey, we've got our arm around you and we're kind of boosting you up? What's the community attitude towards the new school, Lake Wiley? Like you said, right down the road, those kids went to Clover this year in a lot of cases, and they're going to be at Lake Wiley next year.
No, and coaches too. And this school district's so wonderful. I think that, you know, the last part was kind of their approach to it. Like, hey, we're going to wrap arms around each other and kumbaya. And I think for the most part, the district's done a really good job of getting that done. But at the same time here, we're going to spot this ball for too long. And we're going to look across the sidelines and realize, you know, we ain't on the same team no more. And I think it's been really cool for me to experience it in a brand new place, not knowing anybody. So it's not like my little feelings got hurt over anything. But seeing guys that have played with one another and coaches that have coached with one another figure this deal out has been really encouraging. And look, this district is amazing. They get behind everything extracurricular. So it'd be hard for me to think here in, you know, next 3 to 5 years that this deal isn't a little bit bigger than what it will be in the inaugural face-off. And both programs will really find a way to get it rolling.
All right, Coach, we'll let you go on this. Rob was asking us earlier what's everybody's, you know, 4th of July menu. And we can't have a guy from Somerville on and not talk about food or barbecue or something. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking, these people from Clover, you might have them eating barbecue like pregame every meal or something. Right. You know, because you're going to bring that Somerville swagger. So tell us about what you're eating July 4th. And maybe what kind of good food you found up there since you moved up to that York County area.
Well, we got enough family in town that I don't know, Smitty, we probably going to be slinging hot dogs and hamburgers out here, at least for July 4th with all the family in town. But no, I'm kind of interested myself going out to these little eateries. I had a chance to take my dad to Courtney's right down the road from the high school. We had a really good time. The barbecue there wasn't bad. I'm a little bit more mustard-based guy myself. So I'm getting used to all this, but you know, this has been really good. And here I like cooking anything my wife likes eating. So I find myself on the Blackstone a little bit lately. Fried rice is kind of my go-to. You can't mess it up, right? I mean, anything that starts with bacon and eggs and a lot of oil is generally going to be pretty good. So, no, we're going to kind of figure all that out, certainly in the near future as well.
That's great. Yeah, I'll text you and get the address when we get out the air. Sounds good to me.
Oh, I know.
I'll be right over.
And Coach, you said it. You were talking about the differences in barbecue. One of the things, and we'll have you back on, Coach. We'll just do a segment on this. People act like South Carolina is just one place.
No.
South Carolina isn't one place. It's 100 places.
That's right.
And all of our food is different from neighborhood to neighborhood. And people act like, oh, well, that's how they eat in South Carolina. You don't put us in a box. You cannot put us in a box. Somerville food and Charleston food and Columbia and Rock Hill, it's all different.
That's right. And this Rock Hill area is definitely something to be learned with as much transient population as we have and people coming in from the outside. I can tell you in recruiting, that was one thing that kind of gave me pause when somebody brought up, you know, back to the barbecue, whether it's ketchup based, mustard based or salt and vinegar based, you're reading the parents and looking to see where they're leading, right? So, you know, to me, the good thing about me, I'm fat enough where I think all of it's good. You know, whatever it may be, you know, we're going to figure that out.
Coach, enjoy what you've got of vacation. We're going to get up there and see you guys play. You got some great rivalry games. Can't wait to see your team take the field.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys, and thank y'all for everything y'all do for high school football.
Thank you, Coach. That is Coach Bennett Swigert. That is going to be fun to see him take over at Clover, Rob. And, man, looking at that schedule, there are definitely some games that jump out. And you talk about rivalries. I mean, there's just going to be a lot of sore feelings because that group is, you know, Lake Wiley. And you think Nation Ford and Coach Bentley doesn't want to beat Bennett Swigert? So a lot of that. And then they've got South Point on the schedule as well.
Yeah.
And I know South Point doesn't think anybody in York County should beat them. Nobody. And that's exactly what Clover's going to set out to do under Bennett Swigert.
Yeah. And one thing that I will say too, Smitty, is that it's definitely mustard based. It's just for the record, for anybody wondering, we're going mustard based first of all. That's been quite the debate this summer on X. And I'm standing and planting my feet, pouring cement. It's always mustard based. Yeah, that region, Smitty, is just something. You look at it. I'll give it to you really quick. Catawba Ridge, Clover, Indian Land, Lake Wiley, Nation Ford, South Point, and York. So you can kind of see who, you know, looking right now on paper, who you would expect to be the favorites in that group Of course, South Point, defending state champion, is going to be in that discussion. But there is some room behind them to kind of take a hold on it. So we'll see how it develops.
Yeah. All right. So what's on your 4th of July menu, Rob?
You know, we've kind of been back and forth a little bit on what secondary treats we're going to do. Is it going to be the American flag cake with the cream cheese and the strawberry slices? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be some peach ice cream? We're trying to figure out, just we're going to go simple with some cookies. What are we going to do to kind of add the sweetness? Because I think that we're going to have the savory covered with all of the different dips and snacks and lamb chops and everything else that that's there for the crowd. So my focus right now, Smitty, is what type of sugar intake am I going to have?
Keep it low.
I'll just do a bite or two. I'm going.
Keep it low because you don't want to be thinking about your diet when we've got to start dealing with football season.
Well, so. I'll probably be rocking a crop top and have the abs out. So we want to make sure that we keep them in good shape. That reminds me not to eat sugar when I got them out there.
All right. You're definitely from Union County. All right. We're rolling out of here. FourQuarterFriday.com is coming soon. We'll have it. Rob, by the way, on the way out, you know this, you know what I've got behind me in my backdrop today?
I don't. Fill me in. Oh, I see it now. I do see it. You had to lean over for Ben. Now I see
there
it.
There you go. That's 1776. That is how my parents celebrate every 4th of July, is they put 1776 on and they bask in the musical that celebrates the birth of our country. It wasn't an easy birth. Everybody remember that. All right, Rob, thanks so much. FourQuarterFriday.com coming soon. Rob and I will keep working behind the scenes. We're going to bring you everything inside the Gamecocks with Jamie Bradford is next. Happy 4th of July from 4 Quarter Friday and the Chief Sports Network.
Programming alert, Jamie Bradford and team are off. So this is
appreciate
you guys for being here with us.
Whoa. So wait. All right.
They're off this week and I think
next week. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's it for us. All right. So Rob, you're working. I'm working. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't compute. Late night Gamecock show, Sunday night, SEC Sunday night. To follow, that's at 7 and 8 respectively, and we'll be back with you next Friday at 9 a.m.
Awesome. 4 Quarter Friday. I'll do it again. All right. Hey, Jamie Bradford, Inside the Gamecocks, they're off for 2 weeks, but 4QuarterFriday.com is coming soon, and you can always, always give us a high five, tip of the cap, or anything that's going on in your neck of the woods in high school football at 4QuarterFridaySC on X. So you can stay with us there until the launch of 4QuarterFriday.com. So for Rob Williams, Matt Smith, happy 4th of July from the Chief Sports Network.